The Connecticut ACLU is demanding that cities and towns stop using automatic license plate readers. The organization calling for a pause of the use of these devices by police departments over allegations that personal data is being misused. David McGuire joins us today, executive director of the Connecticut ACLU. And David, welcome to the show. Thank you for your time. Why now calling for the pause or even removal of these automatic license plate readers?
Great question. This has been an issue and a topic that we've been on for a while. I did some work at the legislature back over a decade ago at this point around the technology when it was newer. It's now an established technology, but over the summer, you and your listeners might have seen some articles in the news around Flock Safety. It's a company that does a lot of police surveillance technology, both the software and hardware. And it came to light over the summer that Flock is essentially creating this very, very large network surveillance system. It pulls in cameras from almost every state in the country, as well as private cameras. It's leveraging AI. And, you know, we acknowledge at the ACLU that there are some justifiable and reasonable uses of ALPR technology, scanning people's plates. But what we worry about is that they are being captured and stored and accessible to people outside of our state for purposes that might chill people's free expression. You mentioned the federal agencies. We do know through reporting that's been done nationwide that ICE, for example, is accessing these databases, and they have access to the databases of scans here in Connecticut. So what we are calling for, like you mentioned, is a pause in the technology so that the state and law enforcement organizations across the state can really get their arms around this, because it is important to note, Melissa, that currently, LPR technology is unregulated here in Connecticut. And we do know that a lot of law enforcement agencies are working with Flock, around 50 so far here in Connecticut, and that usually these agencies don't have legal counsel and the wherewithal to be negotiating terms of these agreements. But we do know that the boilerplate that Flock uses gives them free access to use that data any way that they want. And the final thing I'll say is that once the data leaves the department, we lose control of it. We really do. And we know that in addition to ICE, there have been law enforcement in other states that have queried our data, which is troublesome because we know that there have been law enforcement officials and prosecutors, for example, in Texas, who have threatened to prosecute people who come to Connecticut to get what is lawful health care here. These are things that concern us and really should be a concern to people across the state.
David, forgive me if I sound very, very elementary with my questions, but could it be something, and I'll throw out a couple different scenarios. Could it be something that we just go back to whatever it was we were using before Flock? Could we just do that?
Well, there were still concerns in the past around retention limits, for example. There are no state laws that require the data to be purged after a certain amount of time. So that used to be kind of the more traditional conversation we were having back a decade ago. I do think that you're right in that in the kind of old days of a decade ago, things were a little bit more simple. These systems were storing data on physical hard drives. So for example, back, time is weird, Melissa, but probably about 7 or 8 years ago, we at the ACLU Connecticut did get the largest FOI database of scans in the country at that time. It was over 3 million scans. It was in the Hartford region. And what we learned was that there were a couple of departments that were physically holding the data. So there was a natural limit to how much could be held and who could access it. It'd have to be one of the departments that are part of the network. And although we still had concerns around it, it was a lot less scary than now, because you're right. Part of the problem is that this is a massive database that is held by a private entity who does not have any government oversight. So I do think that would help somewhat, but I do think we live in different times. You know, there is a weaponization of prosecutorial authorities in a way that is really scary and alarming. We want to make sure that people are able to exercise their rights freely and not be chilled from doing so. And that ranges from free speech rights, going to a protest, going to a church, a temple, a mosque, a clinic. So I do think this is an opportune time for the state to really think about this. And we're hoping that we'll come back next session as a state and regulate this and be able to use the technology in a way that does keep folks safe here, but does not create risk to prosecution or the creation of a digital dossier in every innocent person in Connecticut, which does exist. You and I have probably hundreds, if not thousands, of scans in the Flock database, which sounds innocuous, but as it piles up over time, it can tell a lot about a person's patterns and their life. And that's something that, you know, we should have an expectation of some privacy when we're out in public doing legal things.
I do worry that we sometimes eliminate resources that are incredibly valuable to police. I do think that we are seeing in broad daylight things like cars being taken, children still being trafficked, human trafficking. You know, Connecticut has some of the highest human trafficking in the country, actually, right here in Fairfield County. So I worry about that. I do. So the idea of not getting rid of it makes me happy, but what is the alternative, I guess? So let's say they pause this, and I understand the concerns. I'm not discrediting that. To me, that's a major tool that is being eliminated state to state for police to effectively do their jobs and solve crimes sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that one of the things that I'm hoping that residents do throughout the state, and we've gotten a big reaction to this push that we've made. People are aware of it in a way that they weren't, and I think they recognize the linkage to their rights, but also have legitimate public safety concerns and don't want to hamper law enforcement from solving crimes, for example. So I think a big part of it is people should go to their public safety committee of their town council, their city council, their board of alders, and ask for questions and information on it. I think you might have seen in the release that we put out, we filed almost 100 FOI requests with the police departments. We will be getting that information and sharing it publicly so that people in towns and cities can be informed about what is happening. But ultimately, if folks go to their town council or their police department and say, hey, tell me more about how you use this technology, who your vendor are, what limits you have, because some departments may well have policies that are more restrictive. For example, have something like a 14 or a 30-day data retention purge, where unless it's flagged as relevant to an investigation, it will purge over time. And there's a lot less danger to this technology being misused or used in ways that are not promoting people's public safety if there's not a huge hoarding of the data. The other thing is that they can turn off sharing. Some of these vendors, there's many of them, not just Flock, allow departments to opt out of sharing the information. That would go a very long way. So really what this comes down to, Melissa, is oversight and protections. Right now, there's very little transparency here. And there's zero regulation in the state. So it's about getting our arms around it in a way that, again, don't handcuff police from being able to use technologies to keep us safe, but also have the balance. And the public has the right to know. I mean, this technology is being paid for with taxpayer money. It's very, very often these technologies, and it's not just police, this is government as a whole, are bringing on technologies and using public money in ways that have very little oversight or public awareness. So again, I think this is an issue that should appeal to everyone across the political spectrum, whether you're a Republican, a Libertarian, or a Democrat. This is about citizens understanding what is being done with their money and making sure there's control over these systems. So I do think there will be conversations at the local level. Melissa, there have been towns in Texas, Illinois, Massachusetts, Washington, who have, since this broke over the summer about Flock, have either pause their systems or change their contracts, gotten out of their contract with Flock and moved into other technology providers that don't have these same vulnerabilities. So we're hoping that this does a couple things. It spurs legislation next year, but also creates conversations at the local level where people can make change now.
Again, we've got David McGuire here, executive director of the Connecticut ACLU. And, you know, and I don't know if I'm simplifying it. Obviously, it's a very complex issue, David. But, you know, something as simple as if you've got, I know it's 169 municipalities and even state police, but if there's a system of just saying we aren't sharing the data, I mean, and I don't know how tedious that is or how credible that is. I think what concerns me is, you know, something you had just mentioned was regardless of your political view. And I agree that I think sometimes these are logical things. We want to be able to protect people and we want to protect rights. I get it. But I worry sometimes that we so incorporate, for example, government with law enforcement. So if we pause license plate readers, one of the biggest reasons why, even though it's a great tool for not just police, but for public safety. Red light cameras and speed cameras. I mean, we have a real driver behavior issue since the pandemic. And I worry right. that if we do this with license plate readers, one of the biggest reasons why red light cameras and speed cameras have been kind of nixed or at least been paused or not moved forward fast enough for a lot of towns and cities is a privacy thing. And I get that. But I also worry that we do this with license plate readers. What becomes the trickle-down effect? And I think police are kind of left in the balance, right? They're blamed when they don't do their jobs well enough. But at the same time, we're going to remove tools that are super helpful.
I hear you on that. I mean, we were one of the organizations that was holding back red light cameras and speed cameras because of due process issues, as well as some privacy issues. I do think that the scheme that the state set up a couple of years ago was a balanced one on speed cameras and red light cameras, because like you said, there's a lot of qualifications and review to put them up. There's annual reports and ways that we analyze, are they effective? And there's also public notice, which is huge. So that same framework really should apply here. You know, we believe that there should be full public disclosure of LPR contracts, data sharing agreements. Similarly to what's happening with the red light cameras, we really want there to be annual public reporting on usage and how effective it is. I mean, I do think there will be some cases where this technology does make a huge difference, but the public ought to be able to see that data, and you ought to be able to report on it, for example. And then the other thing, like I mentioned, was really strict limits on data retention. That is a big piece of it. And in terms of the sharing, I think you're right. A big part of it is if we can cut down on the sharing or create a system where it's only being shared when it's really necessary and in furtherance of public safety, we will all be served better. So one of the things that we're going to be pushing for is a prohibition on sharing it with federal agencies or out-of-state agencies unless it's backed by a judicial warrant. And the reality is that kind of oversight and review of, you know, another law enforcement agency outside the state getting a warrant and saying we have reason to believe XYZ person with this plate has violated so-and-so law, they get that warrant, they get that data, no problem. What we worry about now is that this is literally how it works, Melissa. If someone has access to the Flock system, they put in a query of the reason why, and the number one has been immigration, just putting the word immigration, and then they have unfettered access to that data with no oversight or no checks and balances. And even if your department that has those had effectuated those scans doesn't want it to be shared in that way, it is being accessed and shared in that way. So it's about control, local control of the data that we are collecting, and it should be used for Connecticut law enforcement, legitimate law enforcement purposes, or externally if backed by a judicial warrant. And that's really not asking too much. And I'm hopeful that we'll have a robust conversation around that next year.
Who approved the Flock system to be in place here in Connecticut?
Well, that's individuals. So, I mean, they have very advanced technology. I mean, their scanners are go well beyond just reading a license plate. They have the ability, like I mentioned, to use AI to spot different parts of the vehicle identifiers, which again can have legitimate law enforcement purposes, but it is a high powered, very advanced network surveillance system. And they're offering this to local departments. And just to be real, police departments are solicited pretty much weekly with different technologies that could help police do their job. But when they're solicited, they're getting the rosy picture of this is going to how it's going to help you here. They're not talking about some of the self-service and benefits of these companies. And data, as you know, Melissa, in this day and age is incredibly valuable, both from a monetary perspective, but also a power perspective. So they're selling these systems to departments and there okay. are legitimate uses again. But at the end of the day, they're also getting access to lots of data. So it's been a local decision. And in many cases, I believe law enforcement did not realize that they were signing into agreements that are essentially they're losing control of their data.
Do we know how many departments signed on to this?
We know through an FOI request that we made of the Connecticut Institute for Municipal Regional Policy, there are about 50 departments, including the state police, that use Flock.
Okay.
Our FOI request, as we get more information, I'll keep you posted about it. But we may find others that are also using the technology.
Okay. I mean, and again, not to beat a dead horse, but is it as simple as Connecticut State Police, these 50 police departments, if they had, again, because I know they have a good relationship with the ACLU, at least that was my understanding from Gary McNamara. I mean, is it as simple as just having open lines of communication? Hey, guys, we shut it off. Retain this information or what? I don't know.
That would be a great first step, Melissa. I do think state legislation is important. I think it also protects law enforcement to have rules that are clear that when they engage with vendors, they can say, we can do this, we cannot do that. But I think at a minimum as a first step, turning off that sharing externally would be a huge plus. But Melissa, you're on to something there. That would be a very powerful first step. And I think it would bring down the temperature in a lot of conversations in the state because people are worried about this. We're hearing from everyday people who, again, are not criminals, but are worried about this data getting into the hands of a federal government that might want to target them. So I think that would go a very long way. We just need to have an open conversation and inform the public about this and make some changes.
One more thing you had mentioned before was maybe we have better control over it with how long it retains information, for example. And that seemed like something that Gary had brought up to me was, but if you have a case, let's just say, where within 30 days, you don't have it solved, for example. I mean, so the New Britain case, for example, totally has nothing to do with this, right? But, you know, a little girl in New Britain, her body found a year after she had been murdered. Let's say they didn't know who did it. Maybe, you know, it could have been somebody who came in the house and did it, whatever. If you needed that license plate reader to go back and see, well, you know, what car was in that area of that time, we're trying to find the suspect who had done this or whatever. That 30 days doesn't do anything because it's gone now. You can't go back into the systems and go see, you know, what license plates had gone by that day. Now, I don't know if that happens more often than not, but it is my understanding that, you know, having a 30-day cutoff where local departments could go back and look at that footage from a year ago, more than that, would be a disservice to them. Or at least, again, it's taking away that opportunity to go and look at maybe another angle to try to find a suspect in a crime.
It's all balanced, Melissa. That is a tough thing. I mean, the reality is there are many departments, probably many in Connecticut as well as nationwide, that have retention limits that are 14 days or 30 days. You know, it's really a balance of what is needed for public safety and solving crimes, and then also making sure that people's rights are respected. So it really is it's a balance that needs to be struck. You know, the reality is that having the right number, and that is something that the legislature will really have to grapple with and get information from advocates and law enforcement and land in the right place. But the other piece to your point earlier is just having really tight controls that no matter how long it's kept, it's only accessible for legitimate local law enforcement reasons or, again, when there is something like a judicial warrant, which really cuts down on it. Right now, the problem is that these databases are wide open and we lose control over it. And the reality is that even now, if a department has their own internal retention limit, once it's put in these databases externally, it's gone. That doesn't matter anymore. So we need to control our data at the local level and have that hard conversation about how long to keep it. But I'm not discounting what you brought up. I think it's just a matter of how often do these instances happen and what is the right balance to strike.
David McGuire again, Connecticut ACLU. Thank you so much for your time and joining us on WICC.